What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, or YouTube, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, we certainly do appreciate your support. And we couldn't do this without the help of our sponsors. We've had C60 Purple Power now has been a new addition. Ken Schwartz, the founder and chief science officer, has been on the program to explain to us what this is. The product that he designed, he came across it accidentally. He was a nuclear physicist working and needed something to protect him on a cellular level against the exposure to radiation. And the guys that he was working with said, there's a product called C60. You should look into it. He started taking it. It cured his macular degeneration. It protected him. And he thought, if it can do this, what else can it do for me? So he went out, started his own company called C60 Purple Power. And the product they make, C60, is a free radical scavenger. It's a C60 is a naturally occurring molecule. It's comprised of 60 carbon atoms. It makes what looks like kind of like a hollow soccer ball. And what it does is they describe it as a free radical sponge. It has the ability to neutralize free radicals, reset itself again and again. It is the most powerful antioxidant known, hundreds of times more powerful than anything out there. It helps to maximize the efficiency of the cells in producing energy, and it may also provide cellular protection against many toxic environmental factors. This product has not gotten the approval of the Fraud and Death Administration, but I would imagine that our listeners don't really care too much about that because we know that sometimes that's just kind of a shakedown. So anyway, if you like or you're interested in checking this product out, go to c60purplepower.com, use the promo code MACRO, save yourself some money. There's free shipping within the continental United States. And I've been taking it for a couple months now. It's been working really well for me. I've been very vocal about how well it's been working on my poor cat. She's doing fine. So for those asking, she's still doing fine. So we'll get into it. So take a look, c60purplepower.com, promo code MACRO. Well, this, I'll tell you, the last year has been all about COVID. Corona. We've been introduced to some interesting characters here. We've had Fauci come on the scene. We're not really sure about this guy, but we want to know more. And one of the nice things that's come out of this is that we've had a lot of authors that typically write about other subjects deciding to prioritize this and really get into this COVID situation and write about it. So we have Joel Hirshhorn on. He is the author of Pandemic Blunder, Fauci and Public Health Blocked Early Home COVID Treatment. It is available on Amazon. What's going on, Joel? Nice to meet you. How are you?
Good to meet you, Charlie.
Well, I am really curious. I mean, it's hard to know where to start with this whole thing, but I was thinking maybe let's start with digging into the guy that marched onto the scene a little over a year ago and decided that, you know, he was in charge, a guy named Anthony Fauci. Now, I must confess that at the moment that I first saw him on television, I'd never heard of him before. It wasn't until later when people said, you need to look at this guy's role in the 80s with HIV and AIDS and all this stuff. And there's definitely a faction that thinks that Fauci is not exactly the savior he is portrayed to be. What has your research shown you about who this guy Tony Fauci really is?
Well, I was somewhat familiar with Fauci before the pandemic. But when he showed up, I was a little bit amazed at his, very visible role. And after a while, what really turned me off is that it was became clear to me he's kind of a narcissist, because his constant appearances on every form of media blew me away. Now, he had a high role in terms of sort of leading the Trump White House task force on the pandemic. But the more I dug into this, and I had a lot of reasons to dig into the pandemic because I'm older, 81, and I was really concerned about getting the virus. But and I've worked for over 40 years on health issues, and I can read the medical literature. So right at the beginning of the pandemic, and I'm talking about a year ago, basically, last March, I started to read the medical literature. And the more I read, the more I got convinced that something was wrong with the way the pandemic was being managed. And that management was being led by Tony Fauci. And I got totally disillusioned, because I didn't think, you know, the first thing in my book, and I always try to point this out to people, in the entire history of medicine, and remember, Tony Fauci is supposed to be an MD, a physician. In the entire history of medicine, what have we learned? You have to act as quickly as possible when you're dealing with any illness or disease. Acting quickly is like, you know, first do no harm, but before doing no harm, act quickly.
Yeah.
And I got amazed, because it didn't seem that Fauci was following that logic. And why I said that was, I began to see immediately, and this started March of 2020, there was data coming out of France and data coming from several really pioneering physicians in the United States, particularly Dr. Zelenko in New York, by the way, who wrote the foreword for my book. And he started to put out data. And George Farid in California started to put out data. And Peter McCullough in Texas started to put out medical data. And all these doctors were using an approach very quickly in the first few days of any patients getting symptoms or a positive test for the coronavirus. And they had fantastic results. So I just couldn't figure this out. How come Fauci and the White House task force wasn't promoting and supporting this very quick use of different kinds of protocols using cheap, effective, generic medicines that had been around for many, many decades, things like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin? And the White House and the task force and Fauci, what were they doing? They were promoting what we call contagion controls, masking and shutdowns and school closings and social distancing. And then they were promoting expensive medicines to be used only for hospitalized patients. And then they quickly began promoting the development of vaccines. And it may sound good, vaccines, expensive medicines, but what these doctors like Zelenko were doing was much more impressive to me, because their objective, and they were succeeding at it, was to keep people out of the hospital. And if they acted within the first 3 or 4 or 5 days of a person getting symptoms or a positive test, these protocols that they had developed worked. They were almost like they were miracle cures. I'm talking about their patients were getting cured of the COVID infection. And so what amazed me was Fauci had skipped over early action, had refused to acknowledge the successful efforts by these pioneering, innovative doctors, and jumped to these awful, you know, controls over public freedom. You know, I mean, it was just an awful shutdowns and school closings and masking. And the more you looked into all of those contagion controls, there was no science, really good science, to support any of them, particularly. Even today, all the research pretty much shows shutdowns, masking, and all that stuff really doesn't work. But these courageous doctors had the solution. And so that, you know, now, and what I point something out in my book that has been totally neglected by other people. And that is in 2016, Congress passed a law, Obama signed the law, and this had strong bipartisan support. And it was the 21st century, what they call the Cures Act. But what's interesting about that 2016 Act, a federal law, it required federal agencies, particularly FDA that we all love, to use something called, you know, evidence from real world evidence. That's the key phrase, real world evidence, which would be based on real world data. And this real world evidence was a way for the FDA to approve drugs, medicines, and became, you know, the only person that I could find, if you do research on this, was Dr. Zelenko. I think he actually cued me in about that there was this federal law and the idea of real world evidence. Because what had Zelenko and the other doctors produced in March and April last year? They had produced real world evidence that their protocols worked to cure people of COVID, keep them out of the hospital, and very sick people often. And so the federal law existed, and Fauci never, I think I've tried to I've researched this. I don't think Fauci ever mentioned in any of the infinite number of public forums he appeared on, ever mentioned the 2016 law that he should have been referencing, citing, and obeying in terms of using the real world data, the real world evidence that we had a solution to deal with COVID. And that's why at the end of my book, I have a conclusion based on the real world evidence that I summarize in the book, 70 to 80% of COVID deaths could have been, should have been prevented.
Wow.
And that's an amazing, when you come to that conclusion. So when you're talking about way over 500,000 deaths, you know, what I say in my emails and press releases now is that way over 300,000 American deaths should have been prevented, could have been prevented, especially if you acknowledged what was in the federal law enacted and signed by Obama in 2016.
Yeah.
So by, you know, by 2020 last year, FDA had even put out guidance and stuff on how to implement, you know, that mandate to use, you know, real world evidence.
Well, I think that, you know, the people in my camp that are skeptical of this whole thing first started to get the feeling that something was fishy when early on, when hydrochloroquine was brought up as a potential alternative to this. Now, up until this point, the only thing the media was starting to talk about social distancing and masks. And then they were saying, well, masks, we don't need masks. Fauci said you don't need masks. But they were putting in all these things. How are we going to, we're going to close down schools. We're going to close down businesses. Yes. We're going to do all this. And everyone's going, I have a question. What about this hydrochloroquine stuff that you're talking about? And I, and from my understanding of how the medical, you know, big pharma works, you just know you've got the expensive untested thing here, or you've got the cheap generic there. They're never going to push the cheap generic because Big Pharma is in bed with the mainstream media in a way that they look out for one another. And so it was only about vaccines. It was only about remdesivir. It was only about all these potential wait for the vaccine. But in the meantime, take this super expensive drug you can only get in a hospital. And then the hospitals were incentivized by saying, well, if you put somebody on a ventilator, then they're going to get paid out a certain amount more.
More money.
We all started scratching our heads going, yeah, but what about this cheap, free, almost practically free drug out there? Why aren't we incorporating that? If this is seriously and legitimately an all hands on deck moment, and we are looking at every option is on the table, because what we're about to face is going to be catastrophic, and you have got something that is working very well, and then you see it get suppressed. We immediately went, hang on a second here. There's something nefarious at work here. Was that a Fauci call, you think?
Absolutely. And I think people like Fauci and Cuomo in New York have committed a criminally negligent homicide.
I agree.
I mean, they have killed people. And you got to understand a lot of things about Fauci if you understand his history. He has a long history of being extremely close to big drug companies.
Yes.
And this goes back early in his career, AIDS. So he's had this long relationship with big drug companies. His unit, his division at National Institutes of Health, actually gets money back from drug companies. Because NIH people like Fauci have certain patent rights. And even now with some of the vaccines and stuff. So there's money flowing back into Fauci's operation from big drug companies. And he's a globalist. He's also been attached to the World Health Organization for a long, long time. He's the one who gave the American money, our taxpayer money, to the Wuhan laboratory that I think, in my view, is probably the source of the pandemic that we're dealing with.
I agree with you.
But Fauci gave them millions of dollars. And a lot of people didn't know that. So the more you look at Fauci, the more you see a strange history, not one to instill public confidence that he's really out to protect public health. And, you know, the other thing about is the enemy here is not just Fauci. It's the mainstream media.
Yes.
Has elevated Fauci and made him this godlike person, as if he's the public health savior of the world, not just the United States. The media is just to blame here. And Fauci, you know, keeps getting these awards. He got $1 million recently from some entity in Israel. Yep. In my book, I mentioned he got $500,000 from some American entity. And so the more you look at Fauci, who, by the way, is the highest paid federal employee out of, 4 million plus, I think, federal employees. And he's the highest paid person on the federal payroll, interestingly enough. But I blame the media because every day it's endless. It never stops. Yeah. Every day Fauci is out there in endless forms and events and appearances, quoted all the time in the newspapers, as if he's infallible, as if he's been correct, and mostly he's been wrong. But mostly you can't trust the guy. Mm-hmm. And again, just factually, you know, why didn't, you know, we all agree, you got to follow the money. And so why didn't he support the Zelenko protocols and all of that early work that was curing people, really saving lives? I mean, amazing. And Fauci could get away, and the media let him get away with not supporting them. Now, Trump, in a sense, got us all into trouble when he went public by taking hydroxychloroquine. Mm-hmm. By the way, the hidden story here, and you may not know this, most people don't, how did it come to be that Trump took hydroxychloroquine in the first place? The reason is Zelenko and a couple of other doctors got access to the White House, gave them the data, the early data, showing that hydroxy was working. That's why Trump took hydroxy. But immediately when he went public, the anti-Trump forces in the real world, the media world, used the hydroxy as a way to attack Trump.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It became this combination war against hydroxy and Trump, and it sort of allowed Fauci to get away with not supporting those early effective protocols. So I blame the media a whole lot because it's still going on. You know, my book doesn't get any attention in the mainstream media. I've written, you know, before I published the book, I had been publishing articles over a number of months on websites. And I went after Fauci in a very overt way. And, you know, there have been only a few voices out there that have been telling the truth about Fauci. But I think mostly the public has been fed a lot of propaganda, unfortunately, and they believe this mainstream media propaganda. And they just, you know, the purpose of my book, I wrote the book because if I could spread the word about that we had an effective solution for COVID, you know, more people would demand their physicians to give them one of these protocols. But here's another aspect, Charlie, of the story. FDA and NIH actually went on the record. I mean, we have, you know, they went against the use of hydroxy and ivermectin and those kinds of protocols. And when the government, when it goes against those kinds of things, all the mainstream medical societies, okay, AMA, American Medical Association, and all the other big time medical societies, they follow that. What the government has done. So ordinary doctors around the United States couldn't prescribe hydroxy and ivermectin and use these protocols unless they were independent. But most doctors in the United States are not independent. They work for hospitals or big kinds of corporations providing healthcare, and they all follow, they have to follow what the, not only what the government says, but what their medical societies say. So the whole house of medical healthcare in the United States is stacked against physicians using what we used to call medical freedom.
Yeah.
Doctors should have the freedom to prescribe to their patients what they think will help their patients, like Zelenko did and George Farid has done. But again, there's so few independent physicians around. How many physicians are using these protocols in the United States? I would guess just a few dozen because they were all threatened. You know, they could lose their license. Pharmacies in many states wouldn't prescribe hydroxy or ivermectin even. So if you ask your regular primary care physician, can you give me a prescription for hydroxy or ivermectin? They won't. They won't do it. They say they can't do it. That's the reality. And Fauci has created that reality.
What is the role of government in our health? I mean, we see what it has become. It's become this, you know, they're meddling in every aspect of our, but in a healthy, in a mentally healthy society, what is the role of government in managing our health? Shouldn't they just be kind of in charge of making sure that we don't have reckless medical companies making products that don't. And yet here we are in a situation where big pharma companies, all the major ones are convicted felons. They've all been found guilty in courts of law for price fixing and fraud and conspiracy and fudging studies and things like that. So it seems like the one thing the government should do in the role of health care for the American people is to make sure that we don't have bad actors in there prescribing things that are dangerous. And yet what we have is a cartel prescribing things that are dangerous at the exclusion of prescribing things that are cheap and effective. Yes. It's completely backwards.
Absolutely, Charlie. And you know, I have also in my book talk about the vaccines, and I published a paper recently about it, because this idea that everybody should take, by the way, all these vaccines ought to be called experimental.
Yes.
They are all experimental vaccines, okay? And there's a lot of things we don't know about these vaccines. But the idea that every person in the country, I mean, last night on the news shows, they're still talking about having small kids be vaccinated.
It's crazy.
You know, this is insane. I'm with the few doctors that are out there that tell you the truth. And that is the vast majority of people probably don't need to take the COVID vaccine. Because they have natural immunity if they're young, or they have gotten natural immunity because they've actually got the virus, but they never had serious effects.
Right.
But once you get the virus, your body builds up T cells and you get, you know, immunity. Look at all the statistics. If you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s, even if you get the infection, nothing bad is going to happen. The odds are totally against you dying. You're not going to die. Now, elderly people over 65, people like me, it's a different story. There, if you do a sort of a risk-benefit kind of analysis, okay, elderly people with comorbidities, and particularly obese people, a wonderful article written, published just a few days ago, showing nearly all of the people who have died from COVID or been hospitalized, the vast majority have been obese people. So obesity is sort of the hidden comorbidity here also. So instead of pushing vaccines, we still should be pushing the protocols that Fareed and Zelenko are still using, by the way. They still use them every day. Last time I spoke to George Fareed in California, he had already treated over 5,000 people. And he's just an independent guy, relatively small practice. So it's a crazy world. Everything is sort of upside down, backwards in the way we, you know, that's why I call it pandemic blunder. I think I should have called it pandemic scandal because it is a scandal.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems intentional. It's one of those things where you look back on everything and you wonder, we were talking earlier about Fauci early on. He went, instead of treating immediately, as you said, which is what doctors are taught. I mean, talk to somebody, a military doctor, who said the first thing you do is try get in there and stop the bleeding and do what you can. All hands on deck. Let's get that. That's the priority first. Okay, so Fauci didn't do that.
No.
But in retrospect, looking back, if you wanted to make this into a much bigger deal where the vaccine would be necessary and all of that, then he did exactly what you're supposed to do if you're trying to do that. But that, unfortunately, was not in the best interest of the American people. So we have Fauci telling Donald Trump in 2017, you're going to get a pandemic during your term, you know, and everyone's like, oh, that's a weird thing to say to someone. And then, of course, 3 years later, it winds up happening. He has a track record, as you mentioned, of being in bed with these globalists, of having a very deep relationship with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which we know is up to no good. He has a vested interest in vaccines. He is the wrong person for the job.
Absolutely.
Was it Trump's call to make him this person? Do we know that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the head of it, he's not the head of NIH. There's a guy named Collins, who's Francis Collins, who's the head of NIH. He would have been a better pick for that White House task force. But you see, Fauci already had cleverly, you know, engineered his own reputation so that if a pandemic came along, Fauci, you know, was inevitably going to be chosen. To be a major player. And so I don't think Trump had much of a choice. Biden, even more stupidly, has, in a sense, promoted Fauci. But Trump, you know, I don't think it was a mistake in a sense. I think it was inevitable he had to choose Fauci, although he could have chosen Collins, but Collins would have deferred. I know enough about this. Collins would have deferred to Fauci. It's a terrible story when the history of this pandemic is written, if there's ever an honest history. Yeah. I think Fauci will be seen for what he has been, basically a criminal actor in this. I mean, now it's fairly evident that I even have in my book something about Governor Cuomo in New York. You know, there it's even very clear that he's sort of a criminal actor. But what, because of the press always praising, on an everyday basis, praising Fauci, it is more difficult for the public, Charlie, to see Fauci as a kind of criminal.
Yeah.
I think he is a kind of criminal, okay? And he still has the power. And so around the country, it's amazing. When you talk, like I talk to these doctors, the frontline doctors, like Zelenko and Fareed, imagine how they feel. These are guys who develop these protocols that cure people of COVID, knock the COVID out of their system within a few days, okay? Imagine how they feel, because these are physicians who can't, you know, get praised, wide praise. They can't get other doctors on a mass basis to use what they know works successfully. So the physicians are in a unfortunate state also, the ones who have a solution. Peter McCullough is a very famous doctor at Baylor in Texas. He has tried, published endlessly, and given lots of talks. But again, it doesn't prevail. It doesn't change the system, you know? And so you still have NIH and FDA blocking this wide use of these protocols. And ordinary Americans can't get their usual doctors to prescribe what works. They can get vaccines now, but should they get vaccines? I think it's a bigger issue. Should everyone? I can't believe that they're still talking about yesterday, everyone getting the vaccine. It makes no sense. No sense at all. Now, Dr. Atlas from, you probably have watched Dr. I think he's got the right views on these issues.
Me too.
He's absolutely right on vaccines too, that most people don't need the vaccine to get herd immunity in the country. Herd immunity, we may be there already or almost be there without the vaccines, without everybody getting the vaccine.
Yeah. Yeah. Ricky and I do a group podcast called The Union of the Unwanted. We did a vaccine specific show. We had Del Bigtree on. We had Dr. Judy Mikovits on. We had Dr. Scott Atlas on. We had a really good, we had a 3-hour conversation about the ins and outs of this and the truth. And look, you know, to be completely upfront, most of us in the podcasting world, or I write books as well, I'm not a doctor. I have to defer to other doctors for medical advice. I can't pretend that I know how it all works. So I'm looking for doctors that have a common sense or logical or reasonable path towards what they're talking about. Scott Atlas came on, Judy came on. We had a very good discussion about the ins and outs, the all sorts of treatments, you know, what is better, what could work, what doesn't work. None of that conversation is allowed on the mainstream media.
Right.
And it's now, on top of that, it's not allowed on social media. And that is, that to me is a huge indicator that this is not about getting it right. It's about having an agenda. And
yes,
if you deviate from that agenda in any way, they deplatform you. They'll take you off of YouTube. They'll kick you off of Twitter or Facebook. They will make your life difficult if you're talking about things. If you're just having the conversation, it seems like fascism has rolled in here, and the blending of big pharma with government and the media has been, it's to say it's alarming is an understatement, but it's now physically costing people lives, and that is reprehensible.
And that's my point. When I mean, I'm a data-oriented person because of my academic background. I was a professor and a researcher. So I'm data-oriented. And my book is filled with data. And, you know, data drove me to where I stand now and my views that I have now. It's all data. And when I say we could have saved over 300,000 lives, believe me, you can trust me. If anything, I'm underestimating what we could have saved.
Yeah.
So it's an awful situation. It's a tragedy. And no help from the mainstream media. They're the enemy. I blame them. I blame Fauci. And the people in the agencies, what people don't understand about Fauci, little inside, because I've been inside politics I worked for a congressional agency. I worked for the National Governors Association. You know, I have decades of experience working inside the political world in Washington, D.C. And I can tell you that Fauci became so powerful that the head of FDA or the head of CDC could never go against Fauci.
Wow.
He has always controlled and still controls FDA and CDC. And even within HHS, Health and Human Services, which is above all those agencies, Fauci still, the prevailing power, has been and remains the prevailing power. So even though I'm sure there were lots of people within some of these federal agencies that saw the same data I was seeing, and the data is real. In my book, it wasn't just data from, by the way, those American doctors. There's fascinating data from all over the world about how hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin has worked successfully in many countries around the world. In fact, in many countries, you get it over the counter. You know, I got some. I bought my hydroxy and ivermectin from China, you know, illegally. But in other countries, over the counter. In other countries, they give away these little packets of these, you know, filled with the supplements. It's just not hydroxy and ivermectin. You can take zinc, you know, you can take vitamin C, which really works, and vitamin D, which really works. So in other countries, they're promoting not just the generic drugs, but also the vitamins and the supplements. And I've been taking my protocol. It's in the book. I didn't invent it, but just lifting the work of Zelenko, everybody in this sort of pandemic world should be taking, you know, zinc along with quercetin, which is a supplement, which acts like hydroxychloroquine, but it's just an ordinary supplement, together with vitamin C and vitamin D. Take the protocol twice a day. The data's in my book, but everybody should be on that just to play safe. Can't go wrong. I mean, I'll look into new drugs, new supplements, right. But the ones we have right now, we know work. And where's the government? The government is not helping us. The media is not helping us. So it's podcasts like yours, I think, are educating the public that needs educating and, you know, getting the right information out.
Yeah, it was always kind of an indicator to me early on in the first couple of months after this whole thing broke out. You're still sort of waiting to see how much of this is real, how much of it is being magnified by the media. But one of the things that I noticed, and I think a lot of people noticed as well, that the media wasn't doing was that they were not talking about improve your eat healthy, take these vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, get outside, get some sunlight, get some exercise, keep yourself. If they had said, these are the things that you need to do while we wait for this vaccine to be rushed to market, it would have helped their credibility as an institution that actually was looking out for people's best interest. They never did that. They only said, stay in your house and wait till we tell you to come out. Everything will go back to normal once the vaccine is there. And that to me was just such an indicator that they weren't being honest.
It was all about power and money. And that's the tragedy of this pandemic management. All about politicians. And the word, you know, we haven't used this phrase yet, but I want to say this. That phrase, follow the science, has become such a piece of BS. I mean, follow the science, invoked all the time by Fauci and by almost all the politicians. Follow the science. They're not following the science. They never have followed the science from the very beginning. If they did, now we wouldn't be in this situation. So they're not following the science. And by the way, following the science, according to the federal 2016 law, you'd be using, you know, the right kind of data, the right kind of evidence, you know, to follow the science. Yeah. So it's just, you know, and yet everyone talks about following the science. That's another craziness. You know, these things take on a life of their own. And Fauci is, I tell you, I give Fauci credit for this. He knows how to dish out propaganda. He knows how to manage his public perceptions of him. And he knows how to deal with the media. And so Fauci has accumulated all this power because he's good at accumulating power. He's the super bureaucrat. One thing Fauci is not, I want to emphasize, and the media gets this wrong all the time, Fauci has never been a public health official. He is not even qualified to be a public health person. To be a public health person, you have to have public health training and education. I mean, there are some great public health people out there. Harvey Reich at Yale University is another good guy who's on our side, basically. He's an epidemiologist. He's a public health guy. So, but Fauci is not public health. If you study and implement public health, that puts a burden on you as a professional to look at both the positives and the negatives of any action you promote. And what Fauci has never done was look at the downside of the lockdowns, the school closings,
right,
and all the other things that he promotes. So he's not a public health official. And sadly, most of the states don't have good public health leadership either. But public health has a particular meaning in our world. We have public schools of public health at all the major universities. It's a profession. And Fauci never was qualified to be a public health official. Only qualified to be a physician. And quite frankly, what do you think he's done for the last 30 or 40 years? Do you think he's practiced, you know, clinical medicine? No way. He has been a bureaucrat.
Yeah.
And I haven't made this point, and this never gets mentioned in the media. Where does Fauci get some of his most significant power? It's from the fact that he has every year $3 or $4 billion to give out as grants to physicians, medical schools, epidemiologists, anyone in the health and medical world. $3 or $4 billion a year. Let me tell you, when you're giving out that kind of money and doing it year in and year out, you have power over the whole healthcare establishment in the United States. And people who are getting all of that money are not going to speak out against Fauci and against what NIH and FDA and CDC are doing.
Yeah.
The money, it's not just follow the money with the drug companies. It's follow the money from NIH to all of the people getting these grants. Believe me, that's big time money. $3 or $4 billion a year. There are a lot of physicians, a lot of health officials feeding off of that money.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been practicing political medicine, it seems like, for the last yes. couple of decades. And when you do have the money to, in the form of grants to give out to corporations, individuals that you want to see things your way, surprisingly, they see things your way. And who is in his sphere of influence that does the same thing? Well, of course, it's Bill Gates. And we've yes. see how this works. When you've got all the money at your disposal and you can give it to people in little bits here and there, you get them to do whatever you want them to do. So the role of Bill Gates and Fauci together seems like a match made in hell, because you've got the political guy in Fauci, you've got the external guy with all the money who's part of this this Build Back Better Fourth Industrial Revolution Davos crowd, and the blending together of this seems like something straight out of a nightmare, is it not?
It is, which is why pandemic management has been a total failure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, if you're killing Americans unnecessarily, if you know how to prevent the death and bad sickness of people and you're not doing it, again, this is criminal. And I think the word criminal has to be used here.
I think so, too.
It is criminal what has gone on here. I mean, when you think of all the people who legitimately died from COVID, now there are some phony data out there. You know, there are people who died in automobile accidents and gunshots who got labeled as COVID deaths because the hospitals get more money if they label a death as COVID. But there are legitimate COVID deaths, okay? And legitimately, all these lives have been lost, particularly the elderly people in nursing homes. My God, I have worked in nursing homes. I have a lot of experience. I actually have worked in nursing homes, okay? And it's so sad to understand that we could have saved all of these people. What Zelenko was doing in March last year, I mean, go back a year. We already had, you know, Zelenko and others solving the problem of this coronavirus. And it could have been, should have been adopted and pushed quickly to be used in nursing homes. Because we knew from the beginning, and Zelenko knew, because he used his protocol in a community which had a lot of elderly people. And so he learned very quickly that he was dealing with the worst possible scenario of very old people who were going to get exposed to this virus. And that's why he worked so energetically and developed the protocol based on some work in France. And it should have been pushed. And if public health was working, it's not just that, you know, NIH and Fauci is not working properly. It's that the whole goddamn public health system, public health, okay, meant, why do we have public health? It's to protect the public. Yeah. The public health system failed in this pandemic. Yeah. It failed. Yeah. And that's a complex public health system at every local and state level. The only public health agency at the federal level, really, is CDC and the Surgeon General. But public health predominantly is at the state and local level. Trust me, every county has a public health department. States have public health departments. So it's public health that has failed. And that doesn't get enough attention either. So it's public health, it's Fauci, it's the press, it's big drug companies, it's Gates Foundation. You know, the world is stacked against us.
Somebody got it right, though. Who of these countries out there? There were a few that had a different take on things, and it seems like some of the, what were they doing differently that put them in a? I mean, Sweden sort of went away from the lockdown situation. It seems like the big pharma influence didn't reach completely across the globe. There were a few that outliers that sort of fought back about this. Who was doing it right, and what were they doing differently?
Well, again, the French doctor, I think in Marseille, he did it right, but was crazy. the data for where he worked, that part of France, had wonderful results and much lower death rate from COVID, but the rest of France was under the influence of again, the bad actors. And so they had high COVID death rates in the rest of France. There's an interesting story in my book and a very interesting case of data in Switzerland. In Switzerland, they, at the beginning, didn't do the wrong things. They did the right things, okay? And they had very low COVID fatalities. And they were using hydroxy and using the right protocol. And then something happened, and the government stopped the use of the protocols. And the data, which is in the book and elsewhere, you can find it. The death rates from COVID spiked up when they stopped using hydroxy in the protocols. And they, at least in Switzerland, they saw what was happening. So what did they do after, maybe it took some number of weeks? They said, let's go back to using the hydroxy in the protocols. What happened? The death rates went down to where they were to begin with. Mm-hmm. So, and there were cases like this in South America, Latin America, where there were similar kinds of results, where there were pieces, parts of countries, not necessarily the whole country, but provinces or states in some of these South American countries, where they knocked down the death rates from COVID by giving out hydroxy, giving out packages of supplements and vitamins to people. So we have a world of data out there. It wasn't just data from the U.S. You know, it's amazing that we had all of this evidence in the first half of 2020, certainly not necessarily all of it coming in March, but certainly by the summer of 2020, there was a ton of data from all over the world that there was a solution to fight the COVID pandemic, basically. Some countries were doing it. The data's in the book. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Again, ignored. All of this data was ignored, basically, by Fauci and the mainstream press. And so that's how we got here.
You know how, like, back in the old days, they would look at, they had the Earth as the center of the solar system and all the planets, and they were trying to make sense of this, and it didn't really work, and they kept trying to fit this square peg into a round hole. Then they put the sun in the center, and everything magically worked. They said, oh, it all makes sense now. I look at this, and I think to myself, you know, we come at this from, look at Fauci, look at Big Pharma, look at the media. They're all trying to help, and they all got it wrong. They all got it wrong. We're going, how does this happen? But if you switch it around and you come at it from the quite unusual assumption that maybe they were trying to make this a big deal and make a pandemic out of this, it starts to make a whole lot more sense. I mean, you couldn't get everything wrong the way they did and have it be an accident. The most rational and unfortunately reasonable conclusion that I have discovered out of this, and it goes against all logic, I suppose, is that the most logical answer is that this was intended to happen, that they made this happen, because otherwise their incompetence was extraordinary. But if the goal was to create a gigantic, massive worldwide pandemic in order to remake society, fourth industrial revolution, great reset, World Economic Forum guys, they couldn't have done it any better than what they've done.
I agree. And to make billions of dollars from it.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Let's not forget about that. It's not enough to just remake society. You got to profit, baby.
and from that point of view, these evil people, these criminal people, were willing to sacrifice the lives of a lot of innocent people. Yeah. I mean, was it, I think, over 2 million COVID deaths globally now, way over 500,000 in the U.S., over 100,000 since Biden became president. It's like a horror story. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, it's like, it's not, I think I talk about a little bit in my book that this blunder, you know, isn't quite accidental. Right. It wasn't inevitable. It was just either stupidity or incompetence or evil or criminal outlook, basically.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And that's my message also. And, you know, I have no problem saying this and going after Fauci in a very public way, which, you know, I never was on social media, so I didn't worry about getting knocked off of social media.
Yeah, good for you. You're doing it right. Don't get on social media.
I always had a very negative view about social media.
You're right for having that view.
It's my age and background. But, you know, I was worried that would Amazon knock me off of their site. and lately, my ranking myself have been very good. I'm very, very good. I actually am amazed. I can tell by the numbers in terms of my ranking on Amazon, there are people buying the book. And I'm every day, and when you send me the link for this, because I put out stuff every day, and I try to put out links for the podcast that I have done. And And every day I put, I found some interesting ways to get attention to my message, basically. And Citizens Press, there are some alternative media sites, which I've learned how to use and to take advantage of. And I got a few, you know, sort of conservative types of websites that do publish my articles. And I'm as outspoken in the articles as I am in my book. And I'm working on a new article, and it's going to be titled something like Pandemic Scandal. It's about how this federal law enacted in a very bipartisan way in 2016, signed by Obama, how this law could be ignored by Fauci and FDA for in this pandemic. I mean, when you think about it again, there was a legal basis for supporting the Zelenko protocols and all the other stuff that other doctors were doing. There was a legal basis created in 2016 to use this data, real world evidence, real world data. I don't even understand it. Why aren't there lawsuits? Why aren't there some entities out there, you know, going into the courts to make the government obey the law, the 2016 law? I find it amazing. Just amazing.
Well, we're going to have the link. Speaking of links, we're going to have the link to the book in the description. People can find it there. Let's wrap up with this. Where do you see things going for the rest of 2021? Are we going to just be inundated with wave after wave? I mean, what? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but I'm just curious to know your thoughts.
Well, I think first off, the big thing is they're going to be pushing the vaccines for everyone, which I think is a terrible mistake.
Yeah,
terrible mistake. And I think we'll continue to see some waves of the virus because the contagion controls, the shutdowns, the masking and all that stuff doesn't work really. And they're not, you know, we don't have enough people using the protocols and the supplements and the vitamins and all that stuff. So things are not going to get terribly better, I don't think. Herd immunity should kick in. I'm with Scott Atlas on this. That I think herd immunity should kick in. Some people are saying there's a great doctor out of Johns Hopkins, and I work in the Hopkins system. I actually work at a Hopkins hospital. And there's one of the great doctors out there telling the truth, says that he thinks we have herd immunity certainly by the end of April, this month, or in May. If that's true, then we wouldn't keep seeing these upticks in hospitalizations and deaths. Forget about the cases. The cases are nonsense. They don't mean anything. But I think if herd immunity kicks in, as some doctors predict, the good ones, then things could get a whole lot better. We get our personal freedom back. And I used to travel 3 or 4 times a year around the world. I've traveled all over the world, and I miss that travel. Yep. And we're just starting to go eat out again in restaurants. Okay, I live in Maryland. So things have opened up a little bit here. But I think I'm hopeful that maybe herd immunity will kick in enough that we can see the government stop pushing the vaccines. That would be, it's not just dropping hospitalizations and deaths. I'd like to see the government stop pushing the vaccines. That makes no sense at all, except making billions of dollars around the globe for the big drug companies. I mean, it's insane. It's absolutely insane to keep pushing the vaccines.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think most of the listeners would agree with you. Hey, listen, if it's up to, you know, if it's a person's right to their body, their choice, do what you need to do, do the research. If you want the vaccine, get the vaccine. If you need the vaccine because you're in a high risk category, that is your discussion with your doctor to figure out. But this one size fits all mentality is
insane.
Catastrophic. You can't.
Just insane.
It's insane. And I think if people want to know, if people want to dig into the depths of this, obviously we just scratched the surface with this, but Joel Hirshhorn's book is available at Amazon. The link is in the description. Pandemic Blunder, Fauci and Public Health Blocked
early home COVID treatment. That's a statement of fact. Of course, yes. We live in a fact-free world. So unfortunately, that may get you deplatformed for having that unfortunate opinion, regardless of how true it is. But Joel, thanks so much for being on the show. And everybody, get this, share this episode, because it's going to get suppressed. It might even get banned. I don't, you know, we do what we do. What are we going to do? We're going to talk about the truth. We're going to do this. Joel, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate your support.
Thank you, Charlie, so much. Good to meet you and talk to you. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, everybody. Share this episode.